Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. I believe the following message is going to bless you. It's entitled, Walk Worthy of the Calling. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he instructed them as well as us to walk worthy of the vocation or calling with which we're called. Every one of us has a calling on our life we received the instant that we were born again. My prayer is that this message will show us how we can in fact walk worthy of our calling. I hope this message will bless you. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's a live stream Thursday evening, 7:30. So glad you took the opportunity to join us. I'd like to begin by inviting the Holy Ghost to teach us this evening. And so if you want to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we glorify you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. We thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, we welcome you this evening to take these words that I speak, to bring understanding to the hearts of the people so that they are able to grow and develop in all that you have for them. Father, we worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have made available to us. We're so excited. So excited for what lies ahead for us. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I just come against any of the powers of darkness that would bring any distractions or disturbances of any kind. And I arrest you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to begin by giving you a quick testimony. Some of the fruit that I've seen in my own life as a result of some of the things that I'm sharing with you. In the last few weeks, here's a couple of the titles of the messages that I've shared. Last week we talked about requirements to reign, love never fails, the week before that, and grace to reign, particularly the one entitled Love Never Fails. I have recently, within the last week, since the last time that I did the live broadcast, I've experienced a breakthrough in my own life, and I know that it is a result of doing just what I've been sharing with you. The love, the fact that love never fails, it never fails, and the forgiveness that we have to walk in. And I encourage you, and I really believe that just a few minutes ago, before we turned the camera on, that the Lord was showing me that just right here at the beginning, that he wants me to pray with you and for you in this specific area, dealing with grace for forgiveness, because I truly believe that what I've walked through that and the breakthrough that I've had in this area, that with it that there is an anointing for you to be free to if nothing else, to have the grace to walk through everything that you need to do in order to be free, which is going to require forgiveness for whoever is, whatever the situation is. So I'm going to pray with you right now just for that grace. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to be in an attitude of receiving. So as we pray together, I want you to just to release your faith and believe that you receive, if nothing else, this grace. The grace to forgive somebody. So here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe, Holy Ghost, that you showed me to do this. So I am releasing my faith in obedience. And I believe right now in Jesus' name that every person out there watching live or watching recorded, doesn't matter, I believe the grace is there on these words right now, that they are, if they'll act in faith and believe that they receive the grace to forgive, no matter what the hurt is, no matter what the offense, that they will have the grace in Jesus' name. I want you to receive that right there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to understand something. The grace is there now, and you have to believe that you have received it. To do what God expects of all of us to do, walk in love. Now, as difficult as that can be at times, because of, you know, the variety of different situations, somebody did you wrong, somebody did something to you, or did something to your family or your kids, or whatever the case is. I mean, you name it, there's opportunities all around us in this world to hold grudges, and particularly with those who are in the body of Christ. And he's showing this to me and wanting me to understand this, and I believe that he wants all of us to understand this, that when we particularly are at odds with some other member of the body, right, wrong, doesn't matter, when we're at odds with them, we are actually taking the position at odds with him, because it's all just one body, the body of Christ. And he's just making that clear to me, that there has to be unity. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to say that there's going to be unity in all of our doctrine, because I know that's a fantasy. But at some level, there has to be unity as far as what we can come together in and have common ground on. How's that? Maybe you're at odds with somebody, and it's someone in the body, and it's a doctrinal issue. There has to be a place where we have agreement. Number one, I mean, at least we have to be able to agree on the blood of Jesus and the resurrection and his death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. I mean, if we can't agree there, then there's a real problem. And after that, I mean, some people aren't going to want to pray in tongues. Some people aren't going to preach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, quite honestly, it's a shame, because they're missing out. But it's not something that we should be divisive over. We should look for places that we can at least have unity. But at the same time, I want to be cautious here. I'm not saying that we're condoning, you know, because of like the grace message that people are preaching right now. We're not talking about condoning the acceptance of a message that allows anyone to go do anything and grace covers it all. We're not talking about that. So that's to set that thought aside. But what we are talking about is people that have maybe some minor differences, but that we can come together and we can love each other and we can get past the differences. That's what I'm talking about. So I encourage you, if you will do what the Word of God says in this area, look at those scriptures that we've talked about in the previous messages, the one about love never fails, the requirements to reign. Go and look at listen to those messages. They're all on the video player there. You can see those archived messages. Go back and listen to them and find out about forgiveness and love, and I believe it's going to help you. And here's the bottom line. To fulfill the place that we are called to fulfill in the body of Christ, the areas that are that divide us, we have to deal with those. Because I know for myself, I want to fulfill what God has called me to do. And that's something that we're going to speak about this evening, is about our calling. in fulfilling that. So if you want to, go ahead and open your Bibles if you have them. We're going to begin looking in Ephesians chapter 4. A couple of things I want to say here at the beginning. I've been listening to my minister that has gone on to be with Jesus, had been in the ministry for years and years and years, and he's just so blessed me with some of the statements that he's made. And one of them is that this right here, the scriptures, this is God speaking to us. So I want you to just look at, take your Bible if you have it there handy. And I want you to just put your hand on it. I want you to say this with me. This is God speaking to me. This word of God is God speaking to me. You see, this word of God is his will and his word equal. And what he expects of us, it's right here. And what we need to do is to get this inside of us to where we know we have an understanding of what his expectations are for our life. I really believe that if we would hear what these words are saying to us, if we would apply them, if we would do them, and not just be a complacent hearer, but if we would actually practice and do what these words are telling us to do, we are going to see the results. And in so many cases where people are crying out, God, show me what you want me to do, I really truly believe that he's pointing right here and saying, get into my word and I'll show you what I want you to do. And as you get this inside of you to where you know it, you understand it, that he will speak to you through this. I can't tell you how many times that I'll just be going through my day, praying in tongues, and all of a sudden a scripture will come up inside of me. Well, that's scriptural. I mean, that's John 16, that Jesus told us that the Holy Ghost would bring to remembrance what he said to us. Well, he's going to bring to remembrance the word of God. And your answer to all of life's problems are really right here. They're right within these pages. And when we will do these things, whatever it is, when we will apply these principles, you know, the question that so many people have is, Lord, what's your plan for my life? When we do what's in these pages, walking into his plan, it's not difficult. In fact, when we will apply what he told us in Romans chapter 8, 26, 27, and 28, when we will pray in tongues, walking into his perfect will is really automatic, quite honestly. It's a matter of putting one foot in front of the other and following the leadership of the Holy Ghost into the place that he has for us. So what am I saying? I'm saying that your answers are right here. What you're looking for, don't go looking out here. Go looking right here, because he can bring your answer right off of these pages into your heart and reveal to you exactly what you need to hear. That's what he did with me. Now, in my case, when I needed help with understanding about forgiveness, he brought an anointed preacher along to, you know, like I said, I've been listening to his older messages, and he brought that along, and that's exactly what I needed. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you. It was so perfect. The anointing was right there on those words. And as I listened, it just broke down all of the things that the enemy had tried to cause to be erected on the inside of me. Just listening to that anointed message from this man that I mean, it just coming from a place of love, that he wanted people to hear and be helped by the words, it blessed me so much. So let's go now to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's see if we can discover some things here about fulfilling our place in the body. And he starts off, this is Paul writing, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4. In verse 1, we're going to take a few of these verses, we're going to go a little slow here with these. And I'm excited about what we're going to share here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. That word vocation is calling. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now we're going to stop there. Look at how Paul starts this chapter. He's saying, I am the prisoner. What? Not the prisoner of Rome. He said, I am the prisoner of the Lord. And it wasn't because he was compelled. I mean, he was willing. He was willing to be the prisoner of the Lord. He had a desire in his heart to serve God. And so when he's coming into this chapter, which talks about callings, about the unity of the body, when he's coming into this, he's telling us, this is how I see myself. I see myself as the prisoner of the Lord, and it's in a willing capacity. I do this willingly. I lay down my life willingly as the prisoner of the Lord. Because I've done this, I beseech you. That's not just, you know, a casual turn of words. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, some people are sitting here listening to me and they're thinking, well, I'm not called to be an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or apostle or prophet. Well, those are ministry callings. Not everybody has a ministry calling, but we all have a place that we are called to fulfill in the body of Christ. Now, for example, this is a letter. It's not a letter to preachers or to Bible school students. Okay, it's a letter to the church at Ephesus. So he's writing to the general population of that church. And he's telling them that I want you to want to walk worthy of the calling in which you've been called. Whether it's to the fivefold ministry with a ministry gift, whether it's to the ministry of helps, whether it's to the ministry of governments, whatever your place is that you've been called to fulfill in the body, you have a responsibility to walk worthy of that. Now, what we want to look at tonight is how is it that we can walk worthy of that calling? Because, you know, if we were reading this verse and I was standing in front of a room full of Bible college students, you know, and I can't imagine, I would think this probably happens pretty regularly. You know, you have someone standing there, the head of the class, and he has a whole bunch of bright, shining Bible college students sitting there, and he's telling them to walk worthy of the calling. And this is how you're going to do it. You're going to go through all of our classes, and that's going to equip you to be walk worthy of that calling. Well, going to Bible college is fine. I went to Bible college, and it's fine. But that's not what this is talking about. Having the equipment as far as the having the verses and the understanding of the scriptures is good. You need to have that. But that's not what he's necessarily referring to here. That's only part of it. He's talking about the walk of your life, that you need to be worthy, that there is a qualification process in order for us to walk worthy of our calling. So we're going to go to, in order to understand this a little bit better, keep your finger in Ephesians 4. We're going to go over to the book of James. And we're going to look at chapter 1 in the book of James. Now, the book of James, written by what most people will agree is the half-brother of Jesus, probably not one of the easier books to read and understand. But I'm telling you what, he learned some things. I would have to think that it was, you know, growing up watching the life of Jesus, that his depth of understanding was definitely different than Paul's. I can say that. But let's look at this. In chapter 1 and verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So he's writing this to the 12 tribes, so he's writing this to the Jewish population, converts, that have been scattered abroad. My brethren, now hold on to your seat, you know what's coming next. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, as many times as I've read that, as many times as I've looked at these words, there's not been one time I've looked at that and I thought, you know, how in the world can we have joy when we fall into divers temptations? And it's not for the temptation itself, obviously. So, and remember, what are we talking about? Back in Ephesians, walking worthy of the calling, walking worthy of the place that you've been called to fulfill in the body. And part of that process of walking, of qualifying, of being worthy for that calling, is going through what James is talking about here. And I know it, I want you to make sure you make this connection that he, you know, where he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, verse 3, knowing this, you have to know this, that the trying of your faith, the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience, verse 4, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. All right, so let's just tackle those few verses here at the beginning. So you fall into a situation, there's temptation, and everybody knows what we're talking about here. And what's important to understand is the reason that there's temptation is because there's something that's within each one of us that is being drawn that way. I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? But there's something inside of you that wants to do whatever it is that you're being tempted to do. Then it's, we're not talking about in you like in your reborn human spirit. We're talking about in your flesh, you know, this thing that's attached to you, this thing that you can't get away from. It's that place that, hey, you know, you tell a lie. Oh, nobody ever lies. Oh, please. You just lied there. You tell a lie. Well, what was it that lured you into that? It's something on the inside of you. So going back, you keep your place there in James, going back to Ephesians 4, that you walk worthy of the vocation. See where I'm going with this? In order for us to walk worthy, it's those things that are within us that when we're given the right set of circumstances, that we're drawn by something in our flesh that shouldn't be there. So he's saying, count it all joy when you fall in those diverse temptations, not for the temptation, but count it joy that you know the answer to get to the other side of this and to get free of that thing that is being seduced. You see, as long as it's there, is what's going to hold you back from walking into all that God wants for you. But see, you can rejoice because you know how to be free from it. Well, I don't know how to be free from it, Mark. Okay, well, you watch us right here and you're going to find out. Because you don't have to stay that way. And let's look here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Now, why would it work patience? Now, why is patience so important? I would just assume that the answer came right now, and I wouldn't have to walk through anything with that required patience of any kind. There is a developing that takes place when you take the Word of God, the answer to whatever the situation is, you apply your faith to it, and however that is, and you continue, even though it doesn't look like the situation changes one bit, it's still the same, Mark. It doesn't look like it's any different, okay? You stand in faith believing and you speak to that thing, whatever it is, and you command it out of your life. And you do whatever you need to do to stand against it and not to cave in, not to allow your flesh to be gratified by doing whatever you're being tempted to do. How's that? You stand against it. And you know, a lot of people, their mind goes to sexual sins because those are real obvious, but it doesn't have to be that. It could be something so simple as just, let's go to the area of forgiveness or unforgiveness. It could be something as simple as you just turn your nose the other direction away from somebody instead of walking over, loving on that person, and being free from that little bit of, you know what I'm talking about. It could be something that simple. That's putting legs to what you're believing for, which is what? Unity in the body. Simple as that. So, well, Mark, I want it now, and I don't want to have to wait for it. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You may, and just because you're standing in faith doesn't mean that anybody else cares. Doesn't mean that any of that situation, as far as their concern, will change. But you and what's on the inside of you, that's what's going to change. And that's what's going to be changed into more of His image. And it happens so gradually. And you, at times it seems so painful, this change, this developing. It's like, oh, please hurry up. Let's just get this over with. And all the while, that real screaming part, that's just your flesh dying. So just let that stinking thing die. It's the part that doesn't want to go God's way. It's the part that wants to answer it some other way. Some other way. Forget it. There's no other way but God's way. Forget it. There's no other way. Your mind can't come up with another solution. Forget about it. Forget about it. Do it God's way. Answer it with God's word. Apply God's word to whatever your situation is that you're facing that is a temptation to you to succumb to it, and you know in your heart that it's not right. You know it. Your born-again human spirit is bearing witness all over the place telling you that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. Now, you can continue to silence it if you want to and ignore it, and pretty soon you won't be able to hear it. But that's not what you want. You want to change. You want to get past this. Let's go back down and look at this verse 3. Knowing, let me go back, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Now you can, I know people say you can pray for patience. Oh, don't pray for patience. No, patience is going to be produced in you. It's going to be a is going to be an outcome of you taking the Word of God and standing on it and seeing the fruit of whatever you're believing for eventually coming to pass. It's going to take that to produce the patience. And that's why we have joy, because once you go walk through some of this difficulty, once you walk through standing in love or forgiveness or standing against just whatever kind of temptations, and you're standing on the Word, once you do that a while and what's produced inside of you is patience, I'm going to tell you something, there is a steadfastness. It's like an anchor inside of you that you will not move, that you will not be shaken, no matter what you're faced with, no matter what hell the devil tries to throw at you. You stand on the Word of God, you will not move, you will not change, and that produces patience, and it's like the solid substance within you that you can face whatever you have to face in the future. But let patience, verse 4, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. And that word perfect there, we're talking about mature and entire, wanting nothing. Think about that. Wanting nothing. Why? Because you know how to go to the source, and you know how to withstand the temptations of the enemy to fold, to accept plan B or plan C. You know how to stand against that. You know how to take the Word of God as final authority in your life and just whip the devil, just whipping. Because how are you doing this? You're taking this, planting it inside of you, and it is uprooting anything in that flesh that's not supposed to be there. And I'll just throw this in, a little bit of fasting goes a long way in helping to rid your flesh of those anchors that the enemy will try to come and take advantage of. All right, so let me go back here. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Let I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, and that's humility, and meekness, with long suffering. See that? To fulfill your call, you got to have the stuff. There has to be an ability for long suffering and patience, long suffering. Those things go hand in hand. That you are able to withstand no matter what is thrown against you, and you're standing all that time on the Word of God and the promise that He's made to you in His Word, that He will not leave you, He will never forsake you, and whatever you are in need of, He has already provided for you. He's already done it. It's just a matter of receiving. I don't care what it is. He's already provided it. If you're walking yourself right into the plan of God, if you're putting one foot in front of the other, you're praying in tongues, and you're doing exactly everything you know to do, you can expect that His provision is there. You can expect that whatever He asks you to do, believe me, you can afford it. Whatever comes inside of you, the desires to go do a live stream on the internet. That wasn't, Debbie and I, neither one heard God say, do this, don't do this. We both had a knowing inside. And that was enough. That knowing, that inner witness, and we followed it. And as we followed it, I want you to know what happened. The money came to buy a very expensive camera, computer, all the lights, everything that you see. And it was expensive. It was about $4,000 to do this. And I tell you that because the money's already in. I'm not asking you for anything. It's already been paid for. But we follow the Lord and the provision. It's already there. So please understand that. Keep that in mind. So let's go back here. Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That forbearing, I looked that word up this afternoon, that forbearing is you're holding up each other. Holding up each other in love. It doesn't, you know, first I read it and I thought, that must mean putting up with each other. No. You're lifting each other up. It's because we're all part of the same body, and we're going to read that in just a few minutes. Paul realized this, the necessity for this unity and this love and the compassion for each other. He realized that that would be the area that the enemy would focus on and try everything he could to cause division. Something that the Holy Ghost had me do this week was to sit down and to begin in Acts 13, to read all of the rest of Acts, to read all the epistles that Paul wrote. I didn't read Hebrews. Oh, you know, it's debatable whether he wrote. I believe he did. But I read all the other ones. Something that really stood out to me, and I believe it will to you, and I challenge you, do that. Read what Paul wrote. And I know for myself, what seemed to just float to the top after reading all of that was this. God does not want division in the body. And that was so pronounced through not just 1 Corinthians, which we know the church at Corinth was a bunch of backbiters. But it wasn't just that book or that letter. It was, you know, a number of different ones where he addressed the division. And he told the people that, just like right here in Ephesians, and we're going to read this, that he stressed to them the importance in this unity in this body. Why? Because it's all the same body. I don't care what the sign is in front of the building. As long as they preach Jesus and him crucified, and it's the blood of Jesus, as long as they're teaching that that's the only way to get to heaven, bless God, they're our brothers and our sisters. We shouldn't be looking for things to try and, well, they don't pray in tongues. They don't pray for the sick, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're always going to find things, if we want to, that are going to be divisive and that are going to separate us. But really, and I have to raise my hand. I've been guilty of this. And that's not God. That was Mark. And it's not right. And I'm going to go on here and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Verse 4. Or let's read verse 3 again. Endeavoring. That's an effort. That's you're striving. You're doing something. You're doing something here. Endeavoring for what? To keep the unity of the Spirit. He wrote this to this church because, look, he knew this was going to be a struggle. He knew that this was where the devil was going to focus all of his attention, because if he can divide, if he can cause division, he can destroy. And that's not anything about what God is about. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, verse 4, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Do you get the idea that he's using that number one repetitively for a reason? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given, look at this word. Remember we were talking about grace to reign? Look at this word. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This is the grace for you and for me to fulfill our unique individual place in the body of Christ. It's the grace to, you have the grace to fulfill whatever God has called you to do. I want you to understand something. Fulfilling that place in the body of Christ that is uniquely yours, nobody else can do it. Only you can do it. And the greatest thing about it is this, that you fulfilling that place will bring you the most fulfillment, of anything that you'll ever do in all of your life. How about that? Because that's what God has called you. And that calling is without repentance. In other words, it's not going to change. It's not going to change. It's like, you know, we identify, and he talks about this later in Ephesians 4, about the body, and he talks about how, you know, your body has a hand. Your body, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and your hand wants to be your foot. Or your hand doesn't want to be a hand. It's a hand. And it, when it's doing hand things, it's whenever it's fulfilling 100% of what it's supposed to do, being a hand. When you do whatever it is that you're supposed to do, well, Mark, well, what is it? I don't know. But when you do what the instruction manual tells you to do, in order to walk into it, you'll walk into it. Well, let's go back now. Let's start right there on verse 7 in chapter 4. Let's go back over to James. Because I want you to see this in James. James, he's trying to give us some instruction here that's going to help us so that we can be worthy for the calling. Okay? So we read down to verse 4 in chapter 1 of James. And you remember we talked about how you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We talked about that. Now then, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom. Now, what would we be lacking wisdom about? Because he's talked about in the previous verses, falling into diverse temptations. All right. So now he's coming to this question. If any of you lacks wisdom in regard to the temptations, in regard to the whatever the test and trial is that you've fallen into, if you lack wisdom about how to get through this thing, then look at what he says to do. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, verse 6, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're going to stop there. So, we know that this is talking about the fact that we've run into difficulty. We've fallen into temptation. And we're rejoicing about it because we know that at the end of the day, we have the victory. All right, but at some point, maybe we come to a place where it's like, God, I don't know what to do. This is a mess. Look, God, it's a mess. Some of it I've created myself. Okay, it's a mess. And I need what? I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. I got myself into this thing. And now I need some help. Help me. Help me. That's a good prayer. Help me. Help me, Jesus. I need wisdom. Now, when you ask for wisdom, God gives you wisdom. And generally speaking, it's somewhere inside these pages. And he gives it liberally. Here's the problem. What is in here, and I'm pointing to the Word of God, what's in these verses, what's in this Word of God, it's thinking from another world. So what happens is we cry out to God, God, get me out of this mess. I need wisdom. And he answers. And is he going to do anything besides his word? Is he going to give us anything besides his word? His word is going to be the answer to whatever the problem is. So he's going to, somehow, shape, or form, he's going to direct you right here. So you take this word. Maybe it's through, like with me. Maybe it's an anointed preacher that he give, you know, here's the tapes and you start listening to, oh, that's the answer right there. But then you say, but I don't want to do that. Well, why not? Well, it's because my flesh doesn't like it. That's really the bottom line. And here's where James is saying, and I want you to follow this. You asked in faith, nothing wavering. God gives you liberally and upbraids not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. And then verse 7, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you ask for God to give you wisdom, and he gives you wisdom right here from his word. Here's the wisdom mark. Well, I don't really like that answer, God. That isn't what I was expecting. I want something else. Okay? See, I always had the idea, now follow me on this, and maybe this will help explain this double-mindedness, okay? I always had the idea that it was wavering because of not having strong enough faith, okay? Well, try this on for size and see if this fits. He gives you, and however he does that, through an anointed minister, he gives you the answer, or whether you're praying in tongues one day, and the answer just comes up inside of you. However he does it, he gets the answer over, and the answer is his word. And you see it, and you don't abide by it. You have asked him in faith. He has responded. You didn't like the answer. You would rather have the answer that the world gives, the answer that your flesh feels more accommodating to. Now you're being double-minded because you went to him and he told you. God's not going to change for us. He's not going to give us the answer that we want. He's going to give us the answer that works. And to ask him and for him to respond and for us to say, well, you know, I know that that's the answer to, for example, fasting. You got problems lying. You have problems with sexual immorality. I'll tell you right now, you get in here and you find out about fasting, or you listen to somebody preach about fasting, and you've got the answer right there. Well, I don't really like doing that. You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you don't like it. And I'm sorry that that's the answer that came up inside of you when you prayed. I'm not really sorry, quite honestly. But that's just the way it is. That's the answer that God has put in place for us to utilize. He did it. I didn't. I just located it because I heard somebody else preaching about it. But that's the answer. So for me to have problems in an area like that, and for him to bring the answer, and me joke about it, laugh about it, you know, ridicule it, and try to come up with some other answer, I'm double-minded. That's just plain double-mindedness. And what does that mean? It means I have the mind of the world, and I have the mind of God. And then when I say the mind of God, we're, go back to Romans 12, 2. Renewing of your mind by the Word of God causes that transformation process. So here I am trying to get an answer from God, while at the same time, that's not going to satisfy me. I don't want to go that route. So I'm going to go the world's route. So you either operate God's way or you forget about it. Okay? I mean, it's just that simple. We've been born into His family. We've been born into the kingdom of God, and this is the way the kingdom of God operates. And He's given us His word to tell us how the kingdom of God operates. So when we ask Him in faith and He responds to us by His word, and we don't do it, we won't ever get, the only way you get the results, the God results, God's results, is by doing it the way He said to do it. It's like, for example, it's like going to the Ford dealership, buying a brand new Ford F-150, and coming home. And on the way home, you ran low on gas, so you decided you were just going to pump it up full of water because you didn't have gas anywhere nearby, and water will be fine. No, it won't. When you open up that owner's manual and you look at it, it says it needs gasoline, and gasoline's the only thing that's going to work. Well, you know, I didn't have any, and it was more convenient just to stick a hose in there and fill it up with water, and that'll be fine. No, it won't. Not in this world, because you need something for a combustion engine. So it's the same way here. You think you want to get around it another way. You want to get an answer another way other than what God said in His word was the answer. No, you can't. It's this way. So I hope I made that point. I think I have. So let's go down here. Still in James. And we're going to finish up here, coming towards the end of the hour. In verse 19, where we'll start reading there. We're heading for verse 22. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Now, what are they supposed to be hearing? This, the word of God. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. Remember what we're talking about over here, the unity in the body? And this is talking about what? This is, we're trying to find out how we can qualify to walk worthy of that calling, to fulfill our place in the body. And here it is, quick to hear the word of God, the answer to whatever that we're in need of, His word. We're quick to hear, we're slow to speak and slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart, look at this, lay apart what? All filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness what? The engrafted, the rooted in your heart, word. This right here, and not just this on the pages, but this that's gone inside of you, that has been taken and meditated on. You want to receive this. Put away the other stuff, the works of the flesh. Put off that old man. That's what he says back over in Ephesians 4. Put off that old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on that new man. Looking back here at verse 20, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Saves your soul, the engrafted word. Verse 22, but be you, and here's where we want to end it tonight, doers of the word, and not hearers, Remember where we were at before? We were talking about hearing. You know, we prayed, God, I need wisdom. Give me help. Help me. And he gives you wisdom. And the wisdom is right here in the word. But we don't like it. This is what he says. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. For whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You want to be blessed in your deeds? This is how you do it. It's by taking this word and doing it, not just being a hearer. He gave us a comparison. This is a great comparison too. It's like going into your bathroom and you look into the mirror every morning, and you look in that mirror, okay. And then you walk away, and you can't really remember whether or not, you know, did I hit all the places? Did I shave everywhere? Okay. You don't even really remember how many dots are on my face. How many freckles are on my face? You can't really remember that. You just kind of took a casual glance and, you know, kind of tried to get the sleep out of your eyes, and that was it. Well, he said, that's not the way you want to do this. He said, you want to take this word of God and you want to just meditate in it. Live in it. Let it become one in with you in the word, and it's your life. And then when you do that, then it's like looking into that mirror and you're doing it with purpose. And you look at it and you, okay, yeah, I want to count how many freckles are on my face. So you sit there and you count. You have 500 freckles on your face, and you'll never forget it. It's because the point here is you looked at it with purpose and intent to get the truth out of this, to receive this truth inside of you, and to not just to hear it, but to live it, to do it, to be a doer. Because that's how you qualify over here in Ephesians 4. And this is where we'll stop at. That's how you qualify. I therefore, Paul, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's how you do it. By taking this word and putting it inside of you to... And not just being a casual hearer of it, but being a doer of it. Not being double-minded, because you don't like the answer that it gives you. Don't ignore it. It's the only way that you're going to get the results that you want to have, because you want to be this person over here in verse 22 or 25 that says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what I want. And I know that's what you want. You want to be blessed. You want to fulfill the place that you're called to fulfill in the body. And I know there's some of you listening to me that I know that you're struggling with, I know I'm called to do something. Everybody's called to do something. Okay? Everybody is. I don't care how old you are. Forget age. Forget everything. You maybe you got saved last week and you're just hearing this for the first time. Look, it's never too late. You can walk into this. All you have to do is just take this word and begin to put it inside of you and begin to do what this word of God tells you to do. And you will see the fruit of it in your life. And so let me just pray with you right now before we end. Heavenly Father, thank you Thank you for every person that's going to watch this. I thank you for every person that's watched it live. Thank you for every person that's going to watch this in the future. I believe that the truth that's within the words that I've spoken and these scriptures that I've read, that the truth in it is enough, more than enough, to produce a result in these people's lives if they will apply it and do it. And I thank you for the grace in every one of their lives to respond to and to fulfill the call that you have placed on their life, so that when they stand in front of you, Jesus, when they look you in the eyes, that they won't be sorry that they didn't do what you wanted them to do, but they will have joy that their life was lived for you and that your will was accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for watching. Please share this with other people. Tell other people about this if you would. If it's blessed you, I believe it'll bless others. We'll see you next week, 7:30 on Thursday. Be blessed. Hello again, this is Mark. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this message. I trust that it blessed you, and hopefully that you're able to share this with someone else that might be ministered to by what's taught. If you have any questions and like to contact our ministry, please write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74170. Or you can also contact us through our internet website at www.markjenkinsministries.org. Just use the contact page and you can submit prayer requests or questions. Thank you and be blessed.